The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Introspective Aaron. He's got a lot to say on Instagram. Could it be his goodbye to Green Bay? Meanwhile, Pittsburgh planning for post-Big Ben. There's one sure way they can bounce back big, but can they make it happen? We'll take you there. Plus, punishment. Did they get it right in the wake of this fight? Those are the questions. We've got all the answers as we get up with you, starting right now. Here on ESPN and jam-packed, we are Greeny and Fowler is here, and Jay Will's on the way. Ryan Clark, Tim Hasselbeck. We are loaded up this morning, and there's one place to begin. He is the gift that keeps on giving. Aaron Rodgers on a lengthy Instagram post last night. The Packers quarterback, who's of course yet to announce any decisions regarding his future, raised a whole lot more questions in a post titled Monday Night Gratitude. He opened by thanking Shailene Woodley, to whom he was engaged and with whom he has reportedly split. He then wrote about a lot of football players and people. Here's part of what he wrote. He wrote, "To the men I got to share the quarterback room with, and among them Jordan Love in there. You guys made every day so much fun. I'm so thankful for the daily laughs and stress relief you brought me every week of the year. I love you guys. To the Friday crew," which you'll notice some names in there, you'll know Randall Cobb, David Bakhtiari. "I loved every moment we got to spend together this year. Your love and support was overwhelming. I cherish the friendships I have with each of you." Then he wrote, "To my teammates, past and current, you are the icing on the beautiful cake we call our job, football. The friendships that we have will transcend our collective time in this game, and I'm so thankful for the role each of you have played in making my life that much better. I love you guys and cherish the memories that we have made." Holy smoke. So it is sort of almost become like a weekly game here where we dissect Aaron Rodgers. Where is McAfee when you need him? Tim Hasselbeck is here this morning, and we'll have Ryan Clark for you momentarily as well, having a little issue getting him his connection to us here. But Jeremy Fowler, I will start with you. You're an insider. I don't know if you're the right kind of insider to interpret a post like this. What should we be taking away from this now?
We'll try to splice it out. So I've just worked on this before we got on air. I was told the Packers are planning for both scenarios right now. They remain confident that Rodgers will come back to them because they think that they give him the best chance to win, but they're preparing for life with him and budgeting for life without him because they truly don't know. In fact, they don't even know how he's going to inform them of his plans. It might be on the Pat McAfee show. It might be via phone. They're just sort of... It might be via Instagram, yeah. So they're sort of waiting. And I was told that the retirement thing is not something they're sleeping on either. Like, they know that that's on the table for him. It could be a factor here.
When you say that, meaning the possibility that he just retires from the sport altogether, doesn't come back to Green Bay, doesn't go to Denver, but just walks away from football.
Right, because he had said at the end of the year, all options are on the table. I'm told that they don't believe that that's any sort of lip service. They really are believing that that's a possibility right now. One of three options. You stay, you ask for a trade, you retire.
Fair enough. And so as I bring, let's bring Hasselbeck in here. Tim, he just keeps putting this stuff out there. We have no option, but when you release cryptic messages, you are giving people no option but to try and interpret what they mean. So how do you take all this?
Well, you could unfollow, Greeny. You do have that option. Look, I think everything Jeremy said is true. So there's the thought about all the different scenarios that, that could happen. In terms of, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Probably being, the most critical ones, because, that would dictate how you even try to move forward. But I also think this, like there's an element of this, which I think most people believe that much of what Aaron does is calculated, and there's a lot of thought put into it, and he knows what the reaction will be. But then there's the other part of it, too, that, I don't know that everybody truly understands, and that the season is a long grind. You get through the season. It takes a little bit, for the dust to settle, and you have a chance on a Monday night when you're sitting around and maybe have a couple of drinks and decide you want to post an emotional message. So, look, could Aaron be intentionally doing this so that we're talking about it? Of course he could. He also could be in a situation where Listen, he just kind of putting it out there because it's not something he's done all season long.
And we've got Ryan Clark's signal now ready to go. No truth to the rumor that Ryan said, what? We're interpreting an Instagram post from Aaron Rodgers and hit off on his camera. So, what? RC.
Could have been a little truth.
There's a lot of love in this thing. And look, I respect it. I like it. I like the idea that he's sending these messages. But it does read a little bit like a goodbye. It has the feel of a goodbye as I read through it. And I can't help but read into that a little. You don't see it that way.
Greeny, I'm not doing this with y'all, man. I'm not. I did it for 7 months last season, and then he showed up to freaking training camp on the first day with a Kevin from The Office shirt on. And, you know, I had just got into The Office like a year ago, so I was excited about it, but I was upset that y'all made me try to decipher everything that Aaron Rodgers was doing the entire offseason. I think Aaron Rodgers understands this now. I think he understands that he finds himself intelligent. He finds himself very engaging. And you know why he finds himself engaging? Because every time he does something, we dummies engage. And this is just another time that we're doing that. Because we know that there's uncertainty in his future, or at least he's made us believe that there's uncertainty in his future, he knows if he does something like this, it's going to be talked about. Dude is not stupid at all. He's also now become somewhat of a media darling, whether it's because you love him or you hate to hear him, we all listen. Right now, Aaron Rodgers is controlling the narrative as he did for much of the last offseason. And he also got an opportunity to control a little bit of his future, which is why we are talking about it right now. No one knows what dude is thinking. No one knows what dude is doing. Right, we have to get out of this world where every time somebody does something on social media, we try to figure out if he's going to play football. No, what we know is he likes four fingers of scotch sometimes, sometimes two fingers of scotch. When you get a little buzz, you start to feel good and you learn to love people more. He sent out the message. You know, we have no idea what it means. Aaron Rodgers is going to control Aaron Rodgers. We need to stop letting him control us.
Fair enough. I will say this, though. Right now, the word McAfee is trending, and that doesn't seem like an accident. There's obviously a reason why that is going on. Attaboy, Patrick. All right, then let's get to something that is actually concrete here. Yeah. Today is the day that franchise tags can begin to be applied to players. Yeah. There's a lot of speculation as to whether or not Devontae Adams will be one of those players. Jeremy, what do we know?
Well, we know that the Packers loosely plan to franchise tag Devontae Adams whether Aaron Rodgers is there or not. Now, if Rodgers decides to retire or wants to leave, maybe they'll think twice about Adams just because of the price tag. It'd be over $19 million to bring him in on a one-year tag. But
right.
From what I was told, this is not the player you let leave your building. He's too elite. And so even if it's Jordan Love at quarterback, they would want Adams there to try to help them out and help the offense. So really, it would just be a placeholder to try to knock out a long-term deal and let Adams potentially retire a Packer.
So I guess, Tim Hasselbeck, that would be the next question. And again, it's one that is a little more of the moment. Are you keeping Devontae Adams on your team and signing him to the long-term enormous contract that he wants and I think everyone would agree deserves, regardless of whether Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback?
Oh, I think so. But I also think you kind of set it up the way Jeremy just, positioned it. And that is, you use the franchise tag, or at least you try to use it the way that it was designed in an effort to keep players, players that you've drafted and developed from leaving the building. So, look, Adams may not be agreeable to that, though. Part of it for Adams may be like, what's the plan going forward? Who's the quarterback going to be? What's my production going to look like if I'm going to play on this tag until a long-term deal gets worked out? So I think that ends up being the issue. And I think maybe, more so in terms of what it means for Devontae Adams. You got to think about it this way, Greeny. I think it's a huge factor. Devontae Adams is 29 years old. He'll be 30, next season. When you compare like a time when he's franchise tag, Chris Godwin was 25. It's a little bit more agreeable when you think it's 1 year and then you're going to be a young 26-year-old player that's signing a long-term contract, not a 30-year-old wide receiver.
What do you think of that, RC, very quickly, the franchise tag of it all for a guy at his stage and his ability?
You're absolutely going to hate it if you're Devontae Adams. You want to get your long-term deal done. You want to get your money guaranteed and up front. But we're not in control of that. As a player, you understand the franchise tag wasn't put in just so players didn't walk away. The franchise tag was put in so quarterbacks didn't walk away. And obviously, teams have used that franchise tag in so many different ways. And now it's rolled over to people like Devontae Adams, who you can't let walk out of your building. And then if you're the Green Bay Packers, I feel like now you're in a position of leverage where you have a 30-year-old wide receiver who is still in the prime of his career, but he's not going to want to waste a year without that guaranteed money. And so maybe you can get him to accept a deal that isn't at the top of the market or doesn't blow the market away as many may have expected going into free agency. And so if you're the Green Bay Packers, you have to be smart here. You have to do smart business. You were held over the fire by Aaron Rodgers, and eventually you had to bend because he was the quarterback. And Devontae Adams, you don't have to do that. But you do need to be smart enough to understand that a Devontae Adams helps whether it's Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love be a good quarterback.
That's absolutely right. All right, guys, stay close by. Much more on this as we go. Meanwhile, Jeremy, let me utilize you here because he's not the only name in the franchise tag conversation. Let's run the hurry up through a few more.
Yeah, lots of tag candidates. Let's start with Orlando Brown, Chiefs Pro Bowl left tackle. I expect the Chiefs to franchise tag him because that was sort of determined when they traded for him back in April. They knew he had 1 year left on his rookie deal. They said, hey, look, we'll bring you in. We'll tag you in 2022 around $16.7 million. And then we have from the offseason to mid-July to try to hammer out a long-term deal. And so that is their plan for Brown. They want him in their fold long-term. Similar with Mike Adams in Los Angeles. I'm told the Chargers have made clear to Williams that they would like to re-sign him. They'd like him back, but it's a $19.1 million tag. That is steep. Chargers are already paying Keenan Allen about $20 million per year. So that's a heavy bag in the wide receiver room. So the Chargers could opt to try to re-sign him to a long-term deal before free agency March 16th. Still to be determined whether they tag him. Jesse Bates, a great safety out of Cincinnati, prime franchise tag candidate. I'm expecting the Bengals to tag him based on what I know right now. I believe the player is expecting that as well. This will be interesting, Greeny, because he, you know, had some feelings about not being signed long-term before the season. Felt like he had earned that, and he's the catalyst for that Bengals defense. The Bengals know that, so they have to do something here. If they don't negotiate in good faith, it could get a little ugly.
All right, so the business of the NFL offseason is very much underway. Meanwhile, the business taken care of yesterday in college basketball. By now, you've likely seen Michigan coach Juwan Howard has been suspended 5 games, which is the remainder of the regular season, and fined $40,000. For his role in this, in which, among other things, he hits the Wisconsin assistant coach Joe Krabbenhoft in the face. This was after Sunday's game. 3 players were suspended. Wisconsin's coach Greg Gard was fined $10,000 for violating the sportsmanship policy, but he was not suspended. Juwan Howard released a statement that says, in part, after taking time to reflect on all that happened, I realize how unacceptable both my actions and words were and how they affected so many. I am truly sorry. All right, we bring Jay Williams over from ESPN Radio. Jay, what is your reaction? 5 games for Juwan Howard.
I think it was the right disciplinary action for Juwan Howard, 5 games. I'm happy he didn't get more. I thought there was a legitimate case that he could have lost his job considering this was his second offense. But I am disappointed that Greg Gard only got a $10,000 fine. Greeny, the level of entitlement. Here's something that we know as athletes, okay? When you have beef with another player or a coach, you understand that when you do have to shake hands, they're going to probably blow by you. The intensity of the moment is not something that they would like to articulate right then and there. That's what Juwan Howard was going to do. But the entitlement of Greg Gard to stop Juwan Howard as if he were a player, it was a strong grab with the left arm, right, to Juwan's right arm, to say, no, you're going to talk to me now? I think that deserves more disciplinary action than a $10,000 fine. I thought it at least deserved 1 game because it insinuated and incited the whole situation there. And for me, that entitlement, you're not going to just stop me and act as if I'm a player. I'm another head coach of a university, and if you want to talk to me, you can call me, or you can have your SID come to me after the game.
Yeah, that's the point. Is this is not the only opportunity for these two people to have this conversation. So again, just to be clear, you think that Gard should also have been suspended?
Look, if the players are going to be suspended 1 game, 3 players are suspended 1 game, but Juwan Howard is going to be suspended for 5 games, I think you have to show culpability for Greg Gard. 1 game, he should have got suspended for 1 game. You can't just grab somebody. And I think it sets a great precedent. Don't put your hands on anybody. Do not touch me. And if you touch me, there could be repercussions. I'm not saying, look, the second act always gets caught. Juwan Howard deserved the five games, but Greg Gard deserved the one.
All right, Jay, we'll be back a little bit later in this hour with some thoughts on LeBron and more. KJM Coast to Coast weekend mornings, weekday mornings on ESPN Radio. Meanwhile, we continue on this weekday. Coming up, the Steelers general manager reveals a plan to replace Big Ben. Are they about to make a huge mistake? We will ask our beloved former Steeler as we roll on. Plus, LeBron, as mentioned, clearly not happy with how things are going in L.A. What does he want from the Lakers? We got the insight for you on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need. All right, to Pittsburgh we go next. With future Hall of Fame quarterback Ben Roethlisberger retired, the Steelers have to turn the page to the next man in line. Pittsburgh's general manager is Kevin Colbert. He had some interesting thoughts on the topic when he met with reporters yesterday. He said, if we started a season today, Mason, meaning Mason Rudolph, would be our starter. We're excited to see where that can go. Mason is 5-4-1 as an NFL starter, albeit in a backup kind of role, but we're excited to see what is next for Mason. Now, it's worth pointing out Kevin Colbert is going to retire after this year's draft. So what should we take from that, my insider here, Jeremy Fowler?
Well, I'm hearing the Steelers are going to exhaust all options. They're going to look at trade, free agency, but RC, bro, I'm sorry. I'm talking to you. There is a very real possibility that Mason Rudolph is the guy next year based on a few factors. They had a first-round grade on him back in 2018. They believed he was in that group with the other quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, et cetera. And that was Kevin Colbert that made that call. Mm. Kevin Colbert is in place until after the draft. So by the time they hire a new GM, it could be May, all the options could be taken up, whether it's, you know, the big-name quarterbacks we've talked about on the show. And so they believe in 2019, when Rudolph got his most extended run as a starter, he took a huge hit from Earl Thomas and sent him to the hospital. He had the Myles Garrett incident. So it wasn't exactly a smooth process. There's at least some curiosity there that maybe if he gets a real run, a full offseason as the guy, maybe he can do something with it.
It looks to me as though the longer you kept talking, the more disenchanted Ryan Clark became. RC, what do you think? What will you say if Mason Rudolph is the starting quarterback there week one?
That the Pittsburgh Steelers have failed as an organization. If Mason Rudolph is the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers entering 2022, they are no longer the Pittsburgh Steelers I love or the fans of Pittsburgh love. They're no longer the team that decides every offseason we are going to try to compete for a championship. That we feel like the roster we have constructed is championship worthy and championship ready. Mason Rudolph, no doubt, is 5-4-1 as a starter. The defense also averaged giving up only 13 points in the 5 games that they won, which means if a team scores more than 13 points when Mason Rudolph is the quarterback, you're going to lose. And that's who he is. Mason Rudolph is a very average NFL quarterback, not an average NFL starter, an average NFL quarterback. He has shown that. And sometimes we have to be able to say we were wrong. Sometimes we have to be able to say that that first round grade we had on that guy was wrong, which was probably why throughout the first 64 picks in the first two rounds, nobody else picked him either because he wasn't that dang good. Yeah. And this is not a situation where I want to bash Mason Rudolph, but we have to look at the film and realize what the film says. This isn't a guy that can beat Lamar Jackson. This isn't a guy that can beat Joe Burrow. And he certainly can't compete with the Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allens, and Justin Herberts of the world. So if this is what the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing, they're saying that in 2022, we do not want to win a championship.
Let me ask you a question quickly before I get Tim in here. Because we mentioned Kevin Colbert is going to retire. Mike Tomlin is not. So you know the inner dynamics of that organization so well, RC, having played there. Wouldn't, from the outside, one would assume Tomlin will have a pretty significant voice in how they approach this situation, right? Because Colbert will be gone, Tomlin will be there, so yeah. I would assume whatever it is they do, we'll know what the coach thinks just by their actions. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. When you've coached a team for a decade and a half, you have a lot of say in what the roster is going to be and who the people in the building are. But the hierarchy is the hierarchy, and the way that decisions are made are the way that they're made. And Kevin Colbert, as the GM, does make the final decision, even though he's going into retirement. And so if he continues to be in Mason Rudolph, and those are the conversations that they are having behind closed doors, then it is very possible that he could be the quarterback. And also the way that business works, Mike Tomlin doesn't get to manipulate that. But I still stand on this. If Mason Rudolph is the quarterback, they cannot win a championship. Mm-hmm. And that's not who the Pittsburgh Steelers are.
Tim Hasselbeck, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel strongly about, you know, the prospects as RC does about Mason Rudolph. The reality is, saw him play his rookie year. There's a lot of good players that stunk their rookie year. And as Jeremy pointed out, some of the circumstances surrounding his struggles his first year, you know, were beyond just things that were plays on the field. You know, the injury that he mentioned, and then obviously the incident against the Browns. So, you know, I think that he's actually, in some respects, shown them a lot from kind of that point to now. Even as they've brought in other quarterbacks to kind of be Ben's backup, he's held them off, and I think he's improved as a player. All that to say, the Steelers have a very good football team, and there's no reason that they should just be sitting there just feeling like they're completely set at quarterback. I think Kevin Colbert saying what he's saying is the right thing. He's projecting outside like, hey, we're good at quarterback. We trust and we believe in Mason Rudolph. That's given Mason Rudolph this confidence of like, hey, I can go have this job. At the same time, you go find out what other quarterbacks may be available to make your football team better. I mean, I think that's really what's happening, regardless of what Kevin Colbert's saying about quarterbacks that are coming out in this draft class, as well as how he feels about his current situation.
RC, I'm going to come back to you, I promise. I'm up against the bottom of an hour. I see you have more to say. There's a lot more to say about this, and we will. I have to take a quick break, but we will have much more on this as we go. It's a fascinating offseason in Pittsburgh. Meanwhile, as we continue here, it wasn't just the words that got everyone's attention. There was one picture in Aaron Rodgers' post last night that you need to notice because it seems to be sending a message. We'll try and figure out what it is. Plus, is there a rift between LeBron and the Lakers? Has he put them on notice? We've got the answer to that question and more next. You're getting up with us here on ESPN. We're back on Get Up, and again, Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, an endlessly interesting human being, posting a lengthy Instagram message last night. Rodgers, who has yet to announce any decisions regarding the 2022 season, whose options are staying in Green Bay, not staying in Green Bay, or retiring completely. We don't know what he's going to do. And frankly, as we read through this, one of the things that he writes on here is, to my teammates, past and current, you are the icing on the beautiful cake we call our job, football. The friendships that we have will transcend our collective time in this game. I'm so thankful for the role that each of you have played in making my life that much better. I love you guys and cherish the memories that we've made. And there's one picture in this that I think most of us found particularly interesting. And guys, let's put that up there, Cindy, if we can, because one of the photos is this one. So this is the one game that he missed at the height of the controversy around Rodgers and his standing against vaccines and all the rest of that. This was the introduction before that game he didn't play. And those are his two guys. That's Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams. And that's where he'd normally be standing.
every other game of the season for the anthem, Aaron Rodgers would be standing between the two of them. He chose to put a photo up there of the two of them, for lack of a better way of putting it, saving his spot for him in the game he was not there. Now, Ryan Clark, I know psychoanalyzing Aaron Rodgers is not your favorite thing to do, but he didn't choose that picture by accident. What should I be taking from it?
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
I don't know what you should be taking from it, Greeny. What I'm taking from it is that I'm tired of Aaron Rodgers. Like, honestly. And I think, and that's just it. When you look at what Aaron Rodgers is doing, it did seem as if he was retiring. But it only matters to us is because Aaron Rodgers is in his late 30s. Aaron Rodgers has played an extremely long time. And Aaron Rodgers has intimated throughout the season that he could retire. And so he knows sending out anything like this at this moment will have people speculating. The Green Bay Packers will speculate more than anything. The rest of the NFL will speculate as well. This is very much like Adam Schefter finally releasing the fact that he was uncomfortable or that he was unhappy with being in Green Bay on draft day. All of this has been about speculation, prophesizing, prognosticating, and trying to figure out what Aaron Rodgers is thinking. And what we have to know is we don't know. We just don't. And so he posts that picture because that's the picture he wanted to post. Hell, I don't know why. Right. I don't know why he's telling all of his teammates, thank you. The fact that they're the beautiful icing on this cake we call football. I don't get it. I don't know. Neither does Aaron Rodgers. He's having fun. He's expressing his feelings, which people are allowed to do. It don't mean nothing. If last season showed us anything, none of this means nothing. Whether he's hosting Jeopardy, whether he's out there riding on Mufasa and Simba in the bushes of Hawaii, we don't know. We don't know. This is what I can tell y'all. This is what I can tell y'all. I am as unsure about Aaron Rodgers' future as he's been about all of his fiancés. I'm done. Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's what I think. Tim, I think I can get to the bottom of this. If I'm not mistaken, RC began a diet yesterday. This is the man who once got the trending hashtag snacks above everything on this program. Now he has started a diet, and Rodgers is talking about icing on the cake, and I think we've got Ryan Clark hangry this morning. So I think that's what I think we can deduce from all of this. Tim Hasselbeck, how about it? I mean, what should we be – what?
Listen,
we have to try and react
RC
to this somehow. What should we be saying?
Yeah, well, I do think RC sounds a little hangry. I agree with you on that. I mean, I think we all can agree. I think Jeremy can just go ahead and report that, to be honest with you, and take it to the bank. It's been verified by you and me, Greeny. Listen, I think there's part of me, honestly, that in terms of why that picture was chosen, and again, we're just guessing, but, like, it had to feel good for Aaron Rodgers. You mentioned kind of the situation of that game and what it meant for him to not be playing in it. To have two guys that he's so close with decide to basically pose like that prior to the game, like, hey, we're standing with you, buddy, even though you're not here. So it's almost like a little thank you card to Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams saying, like, hey, thanks for having my back. Like to me, like, that's why I would guess that picture is in there more so than, like, hey, it's been real. This is what it's going to look like going forward. Me not standing, in between number, 17 and 18 for the Green Bay Packers.
I agree completely. I think I said it at the time. I think a lot of us felt this way, that incident, that whole episode in this crazy
cake that was his year could wind up being the reason he decides to stay there, because sometimes you find out the things that really matter to you through the most trying of circumstances. All right, we'll leave it there. We'll see where we can wind up getting from there. In the meantime, speaking of perhaps disgruntled stars, I don't know. Let's talk about LeBron James. He hit that absurd one-legged turnaround jumper to win the All-Star game the other night. Team LeBron beating Team Durant by three. But it was his comments before the game that had a lot of people talking. And that leads us to our buddy Brian Windhorst and a fascinating piece that he posted yesterday. It's on ESPN.com right now. It is titled, LeBron James Used All-Star Weekend to Put the Los Angeles Lakers on Notice. And for this conversation, I bring our buddy Jay Will back into the conversation. Again, KJM on ESPN Radio. And here is Wendy. So for those, Wendy, who have not yet read the piece, what do you mean when you say he put the Lakers on notice?
Yeah, Greeny, I think the important thing to realize here is, from what I understand, this is not LeBron saying, I don't want to be with the Lakers. I don't want to be in Los Angeles. It's him saying, I'm not happy with the way nothing was done at the trade deadline. And I want you to know that this summer, I expect you to make some changes. And absolutely it is true that the bringing in Russell Westbrook was something that LeBron was heavily involved with. Having said that, he's ready to move on from it. And that is a clear message he is sending. And he also didn't like, Greeny, that Rob Pelinka came out after the trade deadline and indicated that LeBron was on the same page with not doing anything. I myself have occasionally in my career inadvertently said things that LeBron was trying to imply and been incorrect, and I have been put in the corner by Mr. James and his operation. So I know how Rob feels about this, but it is clear he didn't like that. The second thing I want to point out, I know he's been talking about playing with his son Bronny. He absolutely wants to do that. He absolutely is potentially willing to play anywhere in the world to make that happen. But that is 2 years away. Bronny is 17, and I don't even know if he's going to be ready for the NBA at 19. Don't confuse the two situations.
Okay, fair enough. So, yes, the Bronny piece of it, the I might finish my career in Cleveland piece of it, We put those to the side for a moment, and then we turn our attention, Jay Will, to the Lakers and the moment here. How do you see it as far as this conversation?
Well, look, I mean, LeBron has been giving us messages. If that was quote-tweeting Les Snead and blank them picks, right, and saying legend.
Oh, yeah.
If it's him calling Sam Presti, you know, the MVP, even though OKC has never won a world championship.
Right.
To me, this is going to come down to, who is Jeannie Buss going to give power to? You have Clutch, and you have LeBron James, and then you have Rob Pelinka, right? If you look at it, Clutch Sports has had 8 players on their roster employed by the Los Angeles Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
8, right? So you hear LeBron James say, when you guys didn't make a move for a John Wall, like all of a sudden he started throwing more shots at Rob Pelinka. So it comes down to, who is Jeannie Buss going to give autonomy to help make the right decisions? I actually think they made the right move by not packaging the 2027 first round pick and John Wall and Russell Westbrook for John Wall.
Right.
But it's a matter of what other moves are they going to make in the offseason to make sure that LeBron James finishes his career with the Los Angeles.
Well, that really is the question. Wendy, what does he want? What do we know that he wants? Because he's got Anthony Davis, and the problem with Anthony Davis is exactly what the problem has always been, in that he's not available enough of the time to get you where you need to go. And then the Russell Westbrook thing has clearly not worked at all. And the league is littered with all of these really good former Lakers on all these different teams.
Even DeMar DeRozan, Greeny. DeRozan, an Aaron Gowen client, right? You know the history between LeBron James and Aaron Gowen. They said, no, we're not going to take DeMar DeRozan.
Sure.
So they ended up taking Russell Westbrook. So
right.
There's a lot of that Jeannie Buss has to factor in as well.
So what do we know or think he wants from here, Wendy?
What LeBron wants is for the organization to exhaust itself. He doesn't want anything left on the table. He wants every draft pick possible to be used. He wants every opportunity explored. He wants the Lakers to do what he does, which is exhaust himself. And this exhausts organizations. Trust me, when he left the Miami Heat, they were exhausted organizationally. Same in Cleveland, exhausted organizationally. The Cavs traded 7 first-round picks when he was in Cleveland. That's what LeBron wants. And Jeannie Buss has to safeguard the franchise. LeBron's not going to be there in 2027, 2029. It's a conundrum. But LeBron thinks it's a simple decision.
Well, I mean, on some level, I almost agree that it's a simple decision, which is, if you have LeBron James at the very tail end of his prime, you tell me, Jay Will, if this makes sense. he's still theoretically in his prime. He's playing as well, frankly, as he pretty much ever has. But this clearly has to be the back end of his prime.
Yeah.
You do whatever you can to try and win right now. You don't?
I try, but I am also the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a bottom-tier team like an OKC or Sacramento. I am the Lakers. We expect sustained greatness every single year moving forward. So to what degree do I jeopardize the future of my franchise in order to try to pick up the pieces that, frankly, LeBron James has a huge say in bringing Russell Westbrook over to the table in the first place? And what assets do they have left to give? So how much do you
put on the table? But what's the value of winning one more title? If he could win one more title in the next 2 years, doesn't that make whatever it is you're talking about worth it?
And you have to be fundamentally in tune with also, you can try to do both. What's in the best case of my organization moving forward,
right,
while trying to win now with the resources that we have now?
It's interesting because in this little conversation, Wendy, and I'll give you the final word, we've been talking about Aaron Rodgers and LeBron James, who are two all-time greats late in their careers, who we perceive both want their franchises to go for it right this minute and exhaust and put everything on the table in the interest of the short term trying to win a title. Wendy, put a ribbon on this. What else should the fans be thinking?
Well, they're also two guys playing at MVP levels. And
right.
So once LeBron James leaves, the Lakers will not be able to replace him. And I appreciate what Jay Will said. Absolutely, Russell Westbrook seems to be a mistake. But those players that Clutch helped bring to L.A., those are LeBron James. That's Anthony Davis. That's Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. That's Talen Horton-Tucker. These are the players that got the Lakers the title. So you can argue about whether or not a franchise should be in so close with a player and his representation. The Lakers don't have banner number 17 without LeBron and Clutch Sports. And if they want banner number 18, which Jeannie Buss has said is the most important thing to her to get past the Boston Celtics, her father Jerry's long-term goal, I think they're going to have to seriously consider going all in.
All right, we'll see what they wind up doing. Again, the piece is up there right now on ESPN.com. Jay Will, get back on the radio. They need you over there.
Got a lot of jobs.
He's got a lot going on. Oh, by the way, we've got a lot going on. Our next NHL on ESPN matchup, you've got Alex Ovechkin and the Caps visiting the Rangers. That's Thursday, 7 Eastern. Rangers also part of our ABC matinee this Saturday, taking on Sidney Crosby and the Pens. Our coverage there will start at 3 o'clock Eastern time. Coming up, a giant mess in New York. You may be surprised to hear the Giants' plan for Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. Our crew is fired up. We'll be talking about it next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up with the offseason now upon us. We are looking ahead to a make or break year for a number of very high-profile quarterbacks. And, Tim, I'll start with you. Is it going to be a make or a break for Tua in Miami?
Well, I think with the new system under a new coach, I think it actually will be Tua's best year, which ends up being a make. And you know, there are very few quarterbacks that don't have their fifth-year option picked up on their rookie deals. And I think Tua ends up playing well enough that that happens. So it would be categorized as a make for me.
Okay, fair enough. I like it. Jeremy, you're next. How about in Cleveland? Make or break, Baker Mayfield?
I'm going to go slight make. I know it says break here on the screen, but here's a line for you. His ceiling is Dak Prescott. I've talked to actually a few NFL scouts who believe that. If he could get it together, he's Dak. That's what he is. He could be like 9th or 10th in the league just because he's got some skill. I know it was ugly last year, but two of his four seasons in the NFL were pretty darn good. The Browns hope he can get back to that. I think they're going to be sneaky, low-key looking around at quarterbacks this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
But they got Baker on a contract for a fifth year. The stage is set for him, especially if they get him more weapons. He'll be better.
That's an interesting one. How about you, RC? Daniel Jones, make or break?
In the words of Gabrielle Union on Bring It On, it has already been broken. It's broke. I know broke ain't grammatically correct, but it's broke. Been broke. I don't know why we're still trying to make it unbroken. Don't know why we're trying to fix it. Everybody got mad at me because I said Patrick Mahomes was broken. It was a different kind of broken. That was like when your toilet is clogged. This is like when your toilet has blown off the house. It's over. There's nothing you can do. It's a wrap. Let's start over.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I agree with the sentiment. I can't tell you why we're talking about it, because the new general manager of the Giants is all in. Joe Shane said this, quote, "I don't want to purge the roster because we still want to find out what Daniel Jones can do. We want to find out what Saquon can do." Tim Hasselbeck, I'm struggling with those comments because Saquon Barkley has been in the NFL for 4 years. Daniel Jones has been there three. What do you make of the new GM saying, we're trying to find out what they can do?
Well, I mean, my guess on the Saquon front is if he's healthy, because injuries have really been the big issue for Saquon. When he's been healthy, he's been fine. You know, and he's so versatile and can be so good, but he's not healthy. It's hard to play well. And then I think some of the surroundings around him have been a problem. You know, as it relates to Daniel Jones, I think we know a little bit more about who he is as a player and probably what he can or can't be as a player. So, yeah, that's a little surprising in terms of choice of words, but I also think it's the time of year. You know, it's the beginning part of it, so we probably need to remind ourselves where no one is telling the truth. And so I don't know that they're really trying to figure out what Daniel Jones can do. I'm pretty sure they know as well.
Well, I mean, RC, some have interpreted this as a shot at the previous regime and previous coaching staff, because these guys are they're not rookies. They've been there a little while, and he's saying we still don't know what they can do. Do you see it that way?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You know, when it comes to Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, I don't necessarily see it as a shot to the former regime, to the former GM, to the former head coach. Here is what I do know as the disgruntled, hangry, undrafted free agent.
Uh-huh.
What happens is I spent 13 years trying to prove to the NFL, trying to prove to the world that I could actually play football. When you're drafted second overall, when you're drafted sixth overall, you're going to spend your entire career having to prove that you cannot play in order for people to understand it and accept it. That's where you are when you look at a guy like Daniel Jones and a guy like Saquon Barkley. No matter what, very much like we talked about with Kevin Colbert and what he feels about Mason Rudolph, it's hard for these executives to forget what they thought about these players when they evaluated them in college or where they were drafted. And I agree with Tim. This is a time during the year where people aren't necessarily always telling the truth, but I think that has a little bit to do with what they feel the evaluation of these two players are.
I think that's actually a really good point and really well made. So, Jeremy, should we then be expecting that the quarterback of the Giants this year, let's put Saquon aside, that the quarterback of the Giants this year is going to be Daniel Jones?
Well, you're only as good as your options. Chris Rock said that. And Halle Berry's not walking through the door right now, so you got what you got, right? And I can see them going Mitch Trubisky, going like a bridge guy that they can challenge Daniel Jones with. He's got a relationship with Brian Daboll from their year together with Buffalo. I could see that.
Trubisky does, yeah.
Yeah, Trubisky got unseated by Nick Foles when the Bears brought in competition. Trubisky could do the same thing to Daniel Jones, could come in as competition. But this is a team that was ranked 28th in offensive line play for Daniel Jones. And you saw how ugly it was when Mike Glennon and those guys were in there, Jake Fromm. I mean, it was by far the worst offense in the league without Jones. I do think that says a little something about his skill set. He's not void of talent here.
That's the first thing that the new general manager has to get right, because, I mean, every single year the Giants address their offensive line, and every single year it manages to get worse. I don't know how that happens, but that's the first thing they've got to get right. Okay, we wanted to have a little fun today. So today is a palindrome day. Right? If you look on your calendar, it is 2/22/22. So it is a date that reads the same forward and backward. That's supposed to be a lucky day, so we hope everyone, I was about to say, gets lucky today. I hope you have a lucky day today. That said, we decided we're going to look ahead to the next palindrome date on our calendar, which will be 3/3/33. So 11 years from now, let's make some predictions. Tim, when we get to that date, will Tom Brady have played for a third NFL team?
I don't think he will have. I mean, he may own a third NFL team at that point, but I think for Brady, he's done. He's played a long time. I know that we've seen quarterbacks go back and forth on this a bunch, especially guys that are accomplished players. But I think Tom Brady, with so much kind of in his future in retirement, I think he's going to enjoy retirement. I don't think it's going to be the struggle for him that many people have kind of talked about it being.
That's interesting. I think there are some people who wonder if he'll still be playing by that date. RC, on 3-3-33, will Trevor Lawrence be considered a franchise quarterback?
He absolutely will. Trevor Lawrence is uber talented. I feel like Trevor Lawrence is driven to be a very good football player. And now he has a coach in Doug Peterson who we've seen take Carson Wentz to the highest of heights as an individual player that he's had in his career, and also win a Super Bowl with a guy like Nick Foles and be in contention the next year in the playoffs. I think he helps Trevor Lawrence continue to move forward towards his potential, and also helps the Jaguars be a better team.
All right, I like it. Jeremy. When we get to that date, will Joe Burrow still be playing in the NFL? So many concerns about the number of hits he takes.
Yes, he's going to still be playing. He's going to have that face chiseled on the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks potentially by then. I mean, we're talking about a franchise guy who could be a top 10 all-time talent. I don't want to blow this out of proportion, but the track he's going on, everybody compares him to Tom Brady. He's really, really good. He will have been sacked 1,786 times by 2033. If they could just get some offensive line play, he'll be fine.
Okay, fair enough. And then the question they created for me is, will the New York Jets have won a Super Bowl by 3-3-33? As we look back, there is a sort of a nice connection to this, because the video you're seeing is Super Bowl III. So it would be sort of appropriate in that. That's Joe Namath and the Jets winning the Super Bowl. The answer is, heck yes. The Jets are going to win a Super Bowl way before that. Come on, RC. It's the offseason. This is my best time of year. I'm fired up and ready to go.
That's because there are no games being played, Greeny.
I have a couple of more questions about the palindromes, by the way, we'll get to. In the meantime, coming up, Aaron Rodgers, the Instagram is cryptic. What did it mean? Was he saying goodbye? We'll try to figure it out. Big hour on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.